This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, yeah!
Hit it!
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Shotgun for Rodgers. Sidearms went over the middle. Caught! Touchdown, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, is that sweet?
So then let's talk about the fit of Rodgers and the Steelers, Jerry. How is Rodgers a fit?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Rich, I really don't think he is.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, Boise State defensive end Ahmed Hassani. ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Hour number two on the program has hit. We just had Tom Pelissero on in hour number one. Louis Riddick in hour three. Some of the best talking about football information-wise as well as evaluating. And we just also talked about Steph Curry going from a kid from Davidson splashing on the scene and then becoming one of the all-time greats. And we just love stories like that.
Yeah.
You know, and in terms of that, you know, I'm always interested in bringing you some stories that you may not be familiar with. And I became a bit more familiar with this young man's story at the Combine, certainly in preparation for it. And then he had me at hello when I saw him barking back at some of the coaches on the field that were trying to get the prospects into it. This young man needed no such prodding. He was giving it right back, and I loved it. And I'm like, you know what? At some point, I'd love to meet him on the program, and that moment has arrived. From Boise State, by I guess from Egypt, by way of Boise State, Ahmed Hassani is here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, sir?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Did I pronounce your name right? Because I heard about 15 versions of your name's pronunciation at the Combine.
Yes, sir, you did.
Okay, terrific. Thrilled to meet you. Man, I don't even know where to start with you, but let's start with how you first became aware of football, Ahmed.
That's a great question. I'm from Egypt. I'm not from here.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in the United States. I left when I was 6 years old. I left with my dad, and I left my older brother, Corey. We're half brothers.
Mm-hmm.
He stayed with his mom. I left with my dad. To Egypt. I only spoke English back then. When I went to Egypt, they only spoke Arabic. So I did not speak any Arabic when I went to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
But 10 years go by, so I learned Arabic language, and I forgot all the English when I never practiced English for 10 years.
Right.
And I was like 6 years old. So I grew up in like Egypt and the Egyptian tradition and stuff. Did not know anything about football. Couldn't speak English. But kind of sports kind of was the big thing in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So I did CrossFit, I did jujitsu, I did judo, I did ping pong, I did soccer, I did basketball. I did everything. But what I was really good at was CrossFit. And I was like ranked top 10 on Africa, number one in Egypt in the CrossFit games in Egypt. But didn't know anything about football or spoke English. But I had a little bit of like a memory of like I can understand a little bit what people are talking about, but I can't say what I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And went through a lot of hardships in Egypt. This is why sports kind of was my outlet. And I felt like culture and I felt like energy in sports that's like in like no other sports. So 10 years go by. I was struggling. I was struggling as a kid, as a young kid. And at that time, I suggested to my dad, I was like, you know what? I have the American citizenship. Why not just send me to America? I want to go to a military school in Riverside. It's called in Georgia. Mm-hmm. It's called Riverside. My cousin went to it and he turned out to be like, have that discipline to wake up at 6 a.m. to just to follow instruction. I was like, I want to be like that. I want to have that lifestyle. At that time, my brother Corey, we never talked in 10 years. We haven't spoken to each other. He was playing semi-pro football in Austria. And he was visiting Egypt. My sister bought him a ticket and he was like, you know what? It's been 10 years. You haven't seen the family. You haven't talked to your younger brother. Come visit. He needs you. And he came and visited and he saw me. And he was like, suggested to my dad and told my dad, why are you sending him to a military school? I'm a high school football coach and an English teacher. And my dad was like, that'll work out perfect. It'll save me a ton of money. And then he was just live with you.
Sure.
And I was, he was like, okay. So I moved to the States in 2018 in August with no English. I did not play any football. I just knew about football, that people were running and hitting each other. That's all I knew. And somebody throwing the ball and catching the ball. That's all I knew. And my brother played the wide receiver. He coached the wide receivers. And that time I was like 200 pounds, 190, 6 foot. I was very small, but I was very like clean. So it was a wide receiver type of body. And my brother was like, okay, we're going to try him as a wide receiver and see if he can catch the ball. Couldn't catch the ball. To try him as a linebacker. There's just too much stuff going on. There's people moving everywhere. So I was like panic attack. So these points just put me in a D line and told me to go get the guy who has the ball. And I was always strong. I was always like a strong athlete from the CrossFit. So I was like, okay, see ball, get ball. I can do that. And I just start doing it. I just start like, I didn't have the hottest start, cost my team so much penalties because I just start grabbing face masks, just throwing people.
Yeah, can't
like,
do that.
Hip tossing them.
Can't do that, Huckman.
Exactly. You see, this is the word that I told my coach. And I was like, coach, I can't do that. What? And he's like, in an accent. And he was like, right at every time after practice, Coach Mitch Olson, he goes, Ahmed, no, you can't do that. And I'm like, oh, okay, fine. I'm not going to do it. But then one day, where the D1, like, and the NFL dream started, I did not know what the NFL was. One time, I was watching the NFL, and I saw Aaron Donald play.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, he was, like, dominating people. And I was like, what high school he goes to? And he goes, bro, that's the NFL. And I was like, NFL? What's that? And he was like, bro, that's the National Football League. And I was like, okay, I want to go there. I want to play that. I want to be like that guy. And he goes, bro, you understand that's only, like, 1 in 2% that makes it. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to be the 1 in 2%. What would I need to do? He was like, okay, first you got to earn a D1 scholarship. You got to do good in college. You got to get invited to the combine and then get drafted and then be great. And I was like, okay, what's the first step? He was like, okay, I'm going to start taking you to camps because you're not going to get seen from lower. I played at one of the lowest division in high school. I didn't have a D-line coach. I didn't have a sled. I didn't have anything. I was just going against trash cans the whole time. And I go, my brother's actually suiting up in practice. My brother's like 5'7". We have different moms. So I had to go against him against practice because I had no competition.
Right.
And he's just like, and I played both sides, offense and defense in my high school because it was like a low school. And he was like, okay, I'm going to start taking you to camps and you got to have to show yourself. And I was like, okay, take me. So he just started taking me to like, Winter Circle camps and start taking me to like all these different camps, and I just start going dominating people. I was literally watching YouTube videos about how to pass rush, and I was like, okay,
works.
A guy stopping me from getting to this guy, but there's one guy stopping. So how to either go through him or go around him? What's the best play?
It is that.
And
simple,
I just simplified,
you know?
It.
It is that simple, yeah. When you think about
and
it.
I just start dominating. Like I start dominating people from modern day, Bosco, 5 stars, 4 stars. Like, you name it. Pull me at the 3, I dominate. Pull me at 4, 5, 6, 9. Pull me whatever. And people were like, who the hell is this kid? And he was like, yeah, that's Ahmed Hassanin. He's been only playing football for 2 years. He's my brother. And he wants to make it D1. I'm like, okay. So offers start just rolling in, and people start knowing my name and who I was. And this is why I believe in God, such a good God. And to be the first Egyptian to ever do it, it's amazing to me. Spencer Danielson, he was the D-line coach back then.
Yes.
He played with my brother at Azusa Pacific in college. So when I was getting recruited and getting known, he texted me. And he was like, hey, loved your film. And I got excited that Boise State texted me. I was like, wow, brother, check this out. He's like, wait, that's Spencer Danielson. I played with that guy. That's my friend. The connection happened.
Let me just jump in here. Had you ever heard of Idaho?
Never. Never. I only knew like Boise State was the blue field. And that's, I was like, yeah, oh, right. Right.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So did somebody have to point out to a map where Idaho was to you?
My brother showed me, but at that time also it was COVID. So I couldn't travel. Gosh. I couldn't do any visits.
Okay. Right.
It was really hard to get known and get like out of the state because it was just really hard because it was the midst of COVID. So I literally like committed on the spot. Coach D called me in a virtual like meeting and showed me the facility. And he was like, I'm coming to your school. I feel like God called me to be here, and best decision I ever made to be at Boise State. And it taught me so much other than football. It taught me how to be a man, how to lead men, how to just be myself and just have so much energy and just dominate, you know, and have that mentality of like, well, I'll do whatever it takes to get there, you know, and just have that toughness and, you know, and just the work ethic. And I'm really grateful for Boise State.
What a story. Wow. And obviously it's just begun, which is the neat part about it. Have you met Aaron Donald yet?
I have not. I wish. That's kind of my dream.
Well, this is doable. That's for sure. What would you say to him if you met him?
Teach me. Teach me. I want to be great like you. Hmm. And like, I just want to like follow his footsteps because I know he's not the tallest guy, but he's the strongest. He has a tremendous work ethic. He's dominating. Everybody's just like, when he walks in and just go against people, people know who he is. They triple team him and double team him. And that's what I dealt with in college. But I want to be like that guy. I want to have that kind of like a legacy and be the first Egyptian to ever do it. So I'm just following. People are so like inspired by my story, and people just want to have kind of my work ethic. Hopefully I can be that connection one day to have the NFLPA just go to Egypt and get people out of there just like they do in Germany. That's kind of be my dream, you know, just to be inspiration for people to lead men, to let men just know my story and to just look how I was and how I am right now. And I'm still growing and I'm still learning and I'm just super grateful, you know, and just God is so good.
Ahmed Hassanein here on the Rich Eisen Show, fresh back from the combine. And I'm sitting there on NFL Network in the booth next to Daniel Jeremiah. We're seeing these drills for defensive ends and edge rushers. And the coaches are, you know, kind of like telling all the guys, get ready, get into this. And they're barking at these prospects. And at one point, you barked back. Can you walk me through that process? Walk me through that story.
Absolutely. Please,
from your perspective.
That's just me, you know. I do this in practice every single practice. Even my quarterback, Mad Dog Madison, he was like, yeah, I seen that in practice a couple times. Mm-hmm. And just how I do everything is just I want to bring energy, you know. I want to have joy. I want to have fun what I do. I'm not just out there just to do a drill. I'm just want to be out there, have fun, and do that thing with passion, you know, and desire to, like, be the best at it. So I also, like, I yell in practice. Every time I did it at the Shrine Bowl, I did it at the combine. I was like, it's not going to be any different. I'm going to yell. I'm going to just be getting myself going, you know, and I'm going to have that like, come on, like, let's get it. Like, you know, just do whatever. So it was really cool to see a coach give it back to me because I was like, oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah. This is the National Football League, sir. Like, this is it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do this if I'm going against somebody and I'm like ready, like I know that's the double team coming or the triple team coming. Come on, bring it. Or there's a rimmer coming tight end. Come on, I'm going to go through you. So this guy, like, my mentality just to get myself going. And
yeah.
I love it. You know, I don't want to be somebody different because it's the combine and this lights are on. No, this one I shine. This one I like ready to go. This is my moment. So,
yeah, you've been dreaming about it. Like, this is what was, you know, you were saying earlier in our conversation that, you know, here's how you do it. You start here, you go there, and then you go to the combine, then you get drafted. So
Absolutely.
You've done this already, which is awesome. Now's the next step. And in terms of that, who did you speak with at the combine, Achman?
I spoke with all 32.
You did?
Okay. I spoke with all 32. Everybody's like really inspired by my story and just love my work ethic. I'm kind of the guy that's like, if you show me how to do it and you tell me how to do it, I'll promise you, I'll do whatever it takes to get it done. I couldn't speak English 5 years ago. I couldn't play football 5 years ago. And to get invited to the combine and have the NFL interest, all 32 NFL teams voted, they want to see me. It's a blessing, you know, and I never want to take that thing for granted. I'm so grateful for the opportunity, and I'm ready to literally, I talk to Coach D every time, because it was hard for me leaving Boise State, because I just built a strong connection with that team. I was a team captain for the past 2 years, voted by my teammates. It means something to me, you know, like I'm ready to sacrifice my body for this team. I do not care. I'm ready to die for this team. I told them that every game day. I was like, Coach, I'm ready to die for you today. And I truly mean it. And I just like, whatever it takes, we'll get the job done. I'll do it. So this is that my mentality, and that's who I am. But I talked to everybody. Like yesterday, I talked with the Packers, Green Bay Packers. The day before, I talked to the Chiefs. The day before that, I talked to in a virtual Zoom meeting, I talked to the Detroit Lions.
You speak to Dan Campbell?
I talked to the Seahawks.
You speak to Dan Campbell?
I wish, but it was recorded, so hopefully he can watch it.
Okay, I would be a fly on the wall for conversation between you and Dan Campbell. I would want to see that, because
I would love it.
Yeah, I mean, just the passion that, you know, obviously he has portrayed, and how much it means to him, and it seems like you'd match that. So you spoke to Seattle as well. I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but who else? You spoke to Seattle as well.
I spoke to the Commanders. I spoke to the Raiders.
Okay.
I met with the teams twice, because I met them at the Shrine Bowl and I met them at the Combine.
Okay. Your top 30? Where are you going to go? You going anywhere yet? Have you had any plans for that yet?
I got invited to the Chargers. Okay. We'll see. I mean, my agent kind of told me that because you already met with the teams a lot.
Sure.
So you probably, and you're like a clean, like you don't have anything to worry about. I don't think you're going to get invited to any visits, but if so, then do it. I'll do whatever it takes. I just want to talk, have a conversation, because this is just me, you know. I'm out there. I'm not nervous. I'm passionate. You know, I love this. I love talking about my story and just what God leading me to. So
I couldn't pick up on that, man. I couldn't pick up on that. Just kidding. So before I let you go,
that's sarcasm, right?
Hey! Oh, I could be your coach on that front. Let me be your sarcasm coach, please.
I'm learning. It's something that I really struggled with sarcasm, and I'm getting it now. I'm getting it.
Oh, I can teach you the ropes on sarcasm. Let me be your guy. I'll be your guy. Before I let you go, what is your draft night plan? What is your draft weekend plan? Are you formulating that right now?
I want to be with teammates. I want Coach Spencer to be there. I want my loved ones to be there.
Okay.
I want my brother to be there. My pastor Mark to be there. And just have a night that's, you know, it's going to be pretty emotional for me. Just a guy that's, you know, the first to ever do it, to just see where I came from and where I'm at, and to have that following that I have. I mean, I never want to take this for granted. And it's going to be emotional for me, because whoever gets me will get a guy that's ready to die for that team. And to somebody that believed in me, that Coach Spencer believed in me, after only with 2 years of playing high school football, it means a lot, you know, it means a lot to me. And just ready for that phone call, and I'm just going to be watching my phone 24/7 and see, man. I'm just excited,
you're getting emotional right now. Looks like
I know because I truly believe that God has a plan for me, you know, and God never fails, you know, and I'm just excited. I'm excited to work. I'm excited to, like, come on. Yeah. Like I'm ready to, I'm probably going to go work out right now.
That's great.
I'm just excited, you know?
We're going to go ahead.
That's awesome,
TJ Jefferson, one of my colleagues, got in my ear saying, but before we let you go, go ahead, TJ.
What's up, brother? Your story is amazing. All the best to you. But you mentioned Aaron Donald. So I just recently was watching the Kelce Brothers podcast, New Heights, that Rams quarterback Matt Stafford on. And he was sharing a story that an older teen was in the Make-A-Wish program. He had just overcome cancer. And his goal was to work out with Aaron Donald. So he comes to the facility and Matt Stafford's like, all right, I'm going to sit over here and watch this. And he goes, and the next thing you know, AD's working this kid out so hard, he's throwing up in the trash can. And he goes up to him, he's like, Aaron, like, have some couth, some understanding. He just beat cancer. And apparently Aaron Donald's response was, you want to be like AD? You got to work like AD. And so
that's
if you
awesome.
Meet him and you get that chance, awesome. Just know he might put it on you in that weight room. So I just want you to be prepared
man,
for the time comes when you do meet Aaron Donald.
Come on, I'm ready. Like, fly me out right now. I'm ready to work out. I already worked out twice already. So let's go, man. I'm excited. I would love to meet him and just get his tells and how he does things, you know, because he's great. He's the best of all time, in my opinion. He's just like how he does things and how his work ethic is, how he watches film, you know, how he go on his daily basis. What separates him, you know, what separates him from the others? And I just want to get his mentality, you know, so I can have that. And I can have it like I can do it my own, too, and clarify it because his process is his own process. But I want to look to somebody like that, you know, he's the greatest of all time. And man, I just want to get his mentality. You know, I would love to work out with him.
And
it would be great.
Let's see what we can do on that front. Trust me, I'm going to make sure this gets in his hands. And I thank you for your time. And
yes, sir. I thank you.
No, you bet. And you know, look for more of me reaching out to follow your journey.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, guys. Yeah,
what a pleasure. What an absolute pleasure.
That was incredible. Listening
right here on the Rich Eisen Show. One to root for and one to know about.
Great.
As you go about your business,
instant
getting ready
fan.
For the
instant fan.
NFL draft. I told you guys. Didn't I tell you when we came back from the combine, I'm like, there was this kid out there. Mm-hmm. Who was barking back at the coaches. but not in a disrespectful
right,
way.
Right, no.
You were quick
not.
To point that
no,
out.
No, not in a disrespectful way. The coaches are like, come on, let's do this rep. And he just like, and he basically said to them, you know, yeah, I've got this.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, and the coach, I think, soaked in the response. And I said, let's get him.
Badass.
That went better than I thought. And I wanted to bring you guys the story and obviously everybody at home or wherever you're taking in this show.
You said we love stories and me personally, that's it. Like,
that's it.
There's always so much of the bad that gets put out in front of everybody. But to me, I'm the type, that stuff, that guy, he's got a fan. I know all of us in this room are going to follow him.
You are not wrong about that.
Fan,
in that regard,
you are right.
Yeah, absolutely. You're not wrong about that. And in that regard, coming up next, Tank Lawrence. And the Cowboy. What?
We still hope nothing but the best.
Oh, no, we're going back there.
Oh,
that was awesome. Back with your calls at 844-204-RICH when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, get deals so right, it almost feels wrong. Now is the best time to get that Hyundai car or SUV you've always wanted. Plus, every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of limited complimentary maintenance. Don't think you can get away with all that? Think again. But don't wait. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event is going on now. So visit your local Hyundai dealer today. It's a great day for a new Hyundai. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, our mission is to help members of the military, veterans, and their families achieve their financial goals. That's why we offer great savings and investing options like our certificates. Certificates come with sky-high rates, and some even have the flexibility to add money anytime during your term. Whether you're saving for a home, a new car, or your future, our options could help you get there. And certificates are just the beginning. Navy Federal also provides financial advisors to help you manage your investment portfolio, along with online tools to guide your savings plan. With our support, you'll have everything you need to take charge of your finances. So don't wait. The sooner you start building your financial future with Navy Federal's savings and investing options, the better off you could be in the long run. Sign up at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal, and may lose value.
For you personally, you have an embarrassment of riches. You've got a beautiful family, a beautiful stadium. You're the guardian of the star. You've got a bust. You've got a Hall of Fame ring. You got a jacket. What you don't have is a fourth Lombardi trophy. How bad do you want it, Jerry Jones? How badly do you want this?
Well, Rich, like you said, you've been around for two decades now.
Yes.
And you haven't seen us raise that trophy. I did ask the man upstairs when I got the third one. I said, if you'll give me this one, I'll never ask again. Well, I'm asking. I'm trying to retrade that deal. And to the extent that he's listening to us, and I'm sure he is, I will do better. I've got some things that I could offer you to get that trophy. On the other hand, that's why we're here. That's why I'm involved. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say and relate us to financial, but I was fortunate, lucky, and I had some resources, and I used it all to buy the Dallas Cowboys, every bit of it to buy the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm excited for this season. And on behalf of everyone in the NFL Network, greatly appreciate your support for our network, for all from Jump Street to now. And then just for me personally, I want to thank you. I truly appreciate it.
Rich, I've watched you handle Michael Irvin and Deion Sanders. Anybody that can keep them in their place deserves to be the star of the network.
Jerry, I really appreciate that. That means a ton. Best to your family, and good luck over this for the season. We appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich.
You got it.
Thank
you, Rich. You got it. Right back at you. Thank you. That's Jerry Jones here. And we're about to talk about the Dallas Cowboys on the program.
I about talk bad about the man.
You know, I'm not.
See? He called you the star of the network, Rich.
Because he's not lying. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. What a total delight. We just
unbelievable.
Talked to one of the most unique prospects I've seen come into the NFL draft, Ahmed Hassanein. From Egypt by way of Boise State. Didn't know where Idaho was. I mean,
to be fair, there are Americans that don't know.
Well, that tracks.
Again, if you're just joining us, please go to our YouTube channel or watch our re-air on the Roku channel, the Rich Eisen Fast channel, or our podcast. What a delightful chat that was.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Tommy in Washington's been holding on for since jump, pretty much. What's up, Tommy?
What's up, guys? I'm driving through Yakima, Washington right now.
Isn't that lovely?
Home of Cooper Kupp. I think that's a good sign for the Seahawks. Hopefully, we'll see.
Okay.
But the reason for my call today was I kind of wanted to bug TJ. I know you guys have been hinting at it, but Hank Lawrence had a good interview with one of my favorite guys. Shout out Brian Nemhauser with Hawk Blogger.
Mm-hmm.
He interviewed Hank Lawrence yesterday. And Tank pretty much said, the reason I left Dallas was because they're not going to a Super Bowl. And then that's why I'm here in Seattle. So, TJ, how are you kind of feeling about that? And do you think if you had to choose between the two teams, who has a better chance of making a Super Bowl this year? I know it's not likely for either team, but Tank Lawrence seems to think otherwise about Dallas being kind of in the dumpster and then Seattle on the up and up. So kind of want to hear your guys' thoughts on that.
Tommy in Washington. Well, ladies and gentlemen, appreciate that. Tommy, you're about to hear those thoughts. You basically, I think Tommy just set things up.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think, is he reading our rundown?
No. Well, he's not just reading our rundown, but he's also promoting the fact that What's More Likely is coming up.
I smell a poll question.
So, Tommy, if you want to hang up and listen, or you just want to, let's put Tommy back on hold here because we're about to talk about it. If you wouldn't mind putting him back on hold. Well done. Del Tufo would have hung up on him a long time ago.
Just bam, halfway through the call.
Tommy, this is your lucky day.
Lucky was
so,
a Friday.
Tommy is referring to Tommy. Tommy's getting upset. he's referring to Tank Lawrence, new member of the Seattle Seahawks after many years playing for the Dallas Cowboys with distinction, I might add.
For sure.
And a Dallas person through and through, also from there. So he's now with the Seattle Seahawks and had this to say when he was talking in Seattle for the first time as a member of the Seahawks.
Change of scenery is always good, you know, but, you know, Dallas is my home. I made my home there. You know, my family lives there. You know, I'm forever going to be there, but, you know, I know for sure I'm not going to win a Super Bowl there. So, yeah.
We here.
He's like, yeah, he knew what he was saying. And in this day and age, you say it to a Hawk blogger or you say it to whomever, it's going to get out. Mm-hmm. And it got out, and then it got enhanced because it got retweeted by none other than Micah Parsons, who called this what rejection and envy looks like. This some clown S.
Wow.
And then Tank responds to Micah, calling me a clown won't change the fact that I told the truth. Maybe if you spent less time tweeting and more time winning, I wouldn't have left. And that is in reference to what is truly undercurrent that you get from Dallas nonstop. I heard it at the combine. I hear it all the time. And you hear it too. Everybody hears it. Mm-hmm. Is that Micah isn't the most popular in his place of business because of a lot of the talking and the tweeting and the podcast and all of that business. And if that's it at all true, if there's any truth to that, I would just, not that he wants my two cents, but he has sat in this chair, right? And once upon a time when Michael was here,
this is a fact.
Swapped seats.
And he brought pizza.
I will counsel Micah to tread lightly, because Tank appears to be a veteran in his early to mid-30s who is out of F's to give and is also maybe referencing the undercurrent you hear from Dallas and you see is the subtext of every Dallas is in trouble story, that the Cowboys are about winning. They're about winning championships, but they're also about making sure that the Cowboys are a cash cow. And let's have such and such move practice because there's a tennis tournament going on in the Star. Or let's have the players being looked at while they eat and work out and all that sort of business because we're going to have tours come through. And the Cowboys are more than just a football team. They're an attraction. And if that is at all true, then Tank is potentially ready to talk. And you know we're all ears when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. That said, on the other side of things, it's my opinion on it. Myles Garrett has turned me into a cynic. And potentially Tank was one of those free agents that I heard at the combine they were not all in on anymore. They're all out on. And Stephen Jones, even when he was talking about selective aggressivity and free agency, kind of intimated that Tank might retire. And the Cowboys didn't pay him. And Seattle did. And this does sound like a guy who didn't get the money and is now in a different spot and ready to
move on.
Move well.
We already moved
or
on.
Or lob in some verbal bouquets like that every now and then. Maybe he's just done that in the ensuing kerfuffle of all the shows that talk about this sort of stuff. Might make this a one and done comment from Tank. Who knows? But there's some there, don't you think? I think Damarian Overshown just recently tweeted out in the last few minutes, Cowboys versus everybody, which is something that, you know, obviously rings less than hollow to me because Michigan versus everybody did lead to a natty.
I mean, I've had that T-shirt for years, Cowboys versus everybody.
But
look, man, as if, okay, he's not that well-liked. Well, Michael Jordan wasn't the most well-liked. I'm not comparing Michael Jordan to Micah Parsons. Just saying
you're
that.
You're saying that you can win with a star player who rubs people the wrong way, potentially.
By the way, you would want to. You'd want
Michael
you,
rub
you want
people,
everybody to get along.
If I may be different, if I may push back.
Okay.
Michael was the red ass to his teammates, as he said in The Last Dance, because he was pulling people when they didn't want to be pulled. Mm-hmm. And he was all about winning. He wasn't podcasting. Michael didn't have anything with Bleacher Report. You know what I mean?
True.
So there's a different thing. But I do have this certificate here that still is unsigned. There's a notary sitting over there with his equipment.
I'm going to hide that, by the way.
I'm starting to think I should have put an expiration date on there.
You should have. You shouldn't have made it. That's the first. Your
well,
first
it says 25-26 season.
So that technically is an expiration.
So that's the next 2 years, basically. It's not like the NBA, where it bleeds one into the next. It's still these are two. It's a 2 season release.
Just wait to see where Arch goes, TJ.
You know what I mean? No.
So what are your thoughts? I guess Tommy in Washington wanted to know.
What are my thoughts?
Here, bring Tommy back on. Is Tommy there? Is Tommy still?
Tommy.
Tommy, you still there? Still there, in Yakima? You still are you still in Yakima?
After all that, are
you in Tacoma now? I mean, I did talk a while.
He might be in Portland at this point.
I'm almost at Ellensburg at this point.
Okay,
but yeah, we're
all right. Now talk to Tommy. Give Tommy his answer.
So your question, Tommy, was how do I feel about this?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if you watch the show, you know I've said for years that I feel at this point the Cowboys as an organization are more worried about the brand of the Dallas Cowboys than the football team. The Dallas Cowboys. I don't understand a lot of the moves that they make. I don't know why we wait to pay players so long, costing them extra money. But also with Tank Lawrence, right? I like Tank Lawrence. Great Cowboy for his time there. But he was also a guy who, after a playoff game, went on a national show and said, we were tired. Like, you can't come out and say, like, you were tired at the end of the season and that's why you lost. You know? And as far as the podcast stuff goes, I don't know, Rich, is that big of a deal in
I wouldn't know. I honestly, I'm not in there. I don't know.
No, a pulse more than any of us do.
But Micah, again, Tank is basically saying to Micah that he's not all. I mean, I don't know. Is there a play where you could see he gets beat or he takes a play off and you're like, you know what? If he didn't spend Tuesday getting ready for his podcast, he would have actually won that rep.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
I don't know how, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how.
I don't know how
it manifests in that way.
Yeah.
And also, like, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tommy.
Tommy.
Sorry, but to kind of cut you guys off there. The question isn't really as far as would the podcasting lend itself better to the Dallas Cowboys doing better, which obviously it wouldn't because people have their free time and hobbies. Mm-hmm. As far as just doing stuff outside of football, it's more of Tank getting at the point that the Cowboys are not going anywhere. And holding on, I mean, this is just me reading more into the situation, but holding on to players like Micah Parsons and CD Lamb and all that is kind of to the detriment of the Cowboys.
No, I don't know about that. But what's to the detriment of the Cowboys, I think. And Tommy, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Well done.
Drive safely. Keep your head on a swivel and your hands on 10 and 2. Is signing these guys late.
Yep.
How does that affect the team?
Yeah,
in terms of building the roster. Because you're sitting here seeing,
and
you
just
know,
creating anxiety.
Dude, it's just like the Cowboys are the only ones paying a quarterback $60 million. The Cowboys are one of two teams paying a receiver over $34 million. The Cowboys waited to a point where if they had signed Micah Parsons when they could have, they could have gotten him for low to mid-30s. Now it's going to be 40. Yep. And you're watching other teams make splashes, and potentially the reason why there is no splash is because they're making the splashes too big for their salary cap because they're waiting too damn long. I don't know. Ways around it. But I guess in advance of the what's more likely we're about to do, what is more likely, Seattle or the Cowboys?
Winning the Super Bowl?
Go further. And right.
Okay, neither
How about
one
just
these,
go further this year?
Neither one of those teams are winning the Super Bowl. Let's just be honest.
I'll still take Dallas.
To go further?
Yeah. To win a playoff game? Yeah.
Well, I guess it depends on how much you feel Sam is ready to go there.
I'm also looking at what's around them. I like Dallas a little bit more.
Well, let's see what Seattle does on that. What if they sign Cooper Kupp to go with Jackson Smith and Jigba and have those two running backs and they keep beefing up that line and they get another player?
What if Dallas takes
note on either side?
What
of
if Dallas gets Ashton Jeanty?
I don't think they're gonna.
Because he doesn't fall to them,
correct,
or he doesn't make it to 12.
Heck yeah.
Okay.
Heck yeah. But that would be a splash on draft night. They trade up and go get him.
Yes.
And I think they have to get into the top 10 to do it because they think the Bears are going to go get him.
I agree.
Bears need to chill.
They've been now you sound like I'm on Ross St. Brown. I think we have to go to break before you start working blue. What's more likely coming up? Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN at checkout.
All right, we're back here on the program. The other day we showed Marshall Faulk addressing the players for the first time as the new running backs coach in Colorado. And as long as Marshall is in front of a microphone being a coach, I'm going to show it.
Marshall press conference moments?
We'll find out how many the running backs coach will be afforded at the microphone. But I think this is probably like his... Hey, if you're going to hire Marshall Faulk as your running backs coach, he's going to be placed in front of the media to have a conversation. And I just love watching Marshall do this stuff.
That's cool.
So we're going to show it. And this was Marshall, I think, talking about Dion and being hired by him. And he's got the sunglasses and everything and the Colorado gear and the gray beard and the Hall of Fame and the first ballotness and the greatness. And the Buffaloes, man, they are building. Hit it.
This is what I love about the man and the person. Obviously, you guys, you see the glasses and the chain and, you know, he has his isms that he says and, you know, and all the stuff that he does. And he appears to be this figure that's larger than life. But in reality, when these kids leave here, the most important thing that he cares about is who they become as a young man. That is the most important thing. And making sure, because he knows, and in sports, not just football, in sports, when a lot of athletes leave their sport, financially, they're not in good standing. And he wants to educate you on the field. He wants to educate you in life. He wants to make sure you're educated in finances. You know, making sure that these young men take the values of football and go be great in football, but make sure you're great in life as well. And that's the idea. He said something yesterday that hit me. A lot of, and I lost my father at a young age, so I grew up kind of fatherless as well. And a lot of these young men that come here, they come here fatherless. And then one of the worst things in the world is to be fatherless and then become a father. They, without being taught how to be a father. And making sure that they understand the aspects of life and how when you're taught something, the best way is to then teach it to make sure you, that is ingrained in you. And, you know, he's one of those guys that care. Like he talked more about the GPA of the team than he does the 9 wins that they had last year. And that's indicative to the person that he is, that don't show up when you see him sitting here, you know, giving those superlative answers that he gives.
I love it.
He just looks happy too.
Yeah, because
it's just so cool.
And just it means a little bit more maybe to you and I because we worked with them.
Right.
We worked with you worked with Marshall. You were his segment producer on Game Day Morning.
And then obviously Dion was in the building.
And Dion was in the building. Yeah. And as somebody who is with them on the road, traveling, sitting in, you know, green rooms and things like that, and being on the road and being around them, they talked about this stuff back then. So this is not BS. And Marshall was asked a question if he was also brought in not to be the running backs coach, but also to be a financial literacy coach. And he said yes.
Makes sense.
He said yes.
Makes sense.
Back on the Rich Eisen show here with the radio audience. And we just showed Marshall Faulk talk about how, you know, he's not only just been brought in to Colorado to be a running backs coach, but a financial literacy tutor for these young men.
That's so important, man.
It's
stuff that, like, it doesn't get talked about enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids, a lot of us didn't have that financial background. With so many of us come from households that you're living paycheck to paycheck, you never had any, you know, excess money to do anything with. So now these guys are getting a little bit of change. Yeah. They got to know how to handle their finances.
TJ, I was at some rookie symposiums when they used to have those things, mm-hmm, at the beginning of NFL Network's times, and I would be there. They used to, the NFLPA, have classes on balancing checkbooks.
I've heard that, yeah.
Because a lot of kids don't know how to do that.
Yep.
And so Marshall is going to be part of that, and that's part and parcel of the program there in Colorado. And, you know, if Marshall was here, I would ask if part of that was telling these kids to, if they do get to the league, demand that the Bengals not draft them.
Let's see.
That's how he became financially literate.
That's true.
I love that, man.
Also, he said something there that was like just on a human scale when he said, like, kids without fathers becoming kids without knowing how to become or how to be fathers. Man, that
Dion would always talk to me about how when he got to college, it was the first time he ever saw a grown man shave because he did not have a father and a father figure. He's about it. It's not just BS. This has been in the making for a long time. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We're going to have tons of time in the third hour. Let's do what's more likely. Hit it.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
Christopher, have at it.
Guys, what's up? Great to see you. Happy Friday.
What's up, Brockman?
Hey, more likely quarterback in a new home to start week one. Kenny Pickett, Daniel Jones.
Ooh, you didn't stop.
You think Russ is going to Cleveland, don't you?
I think Cam Ward might show up in Cleveland.
Possible.
Dude, Daniel Jones is coming there to be more than just a competitor.
I think he starts week one.
And
also,
if it is a real competition, how is a guy who has played as much as he's played in the NFL not win the job? If it's a true straight up competition, true. I don't know the way it's going to be.
Seems like it might be.
I'm obviously this is a dart throw right now on on the Friday of the new league year week, but I'll just say that.
All right. Speaking of the aforementioned, quarterback Wilson to start more games in 2025. Russell or Zach?
Every single time you mention Zach, it means I'm assuming he's going to be the starter because Tua gets hurt, and I never want to speak that into existence, so I'll always choose the other option.
Okay.
You're a big man. Understand that.
You're better than me.
Russ is going to get to a spot and be the starter. All right? And the unbelievable thing is it could be in Cleveland where Kenny Pickett is
back. It's unbelievable.
Already. And it would be the second AFC North stop in which Pickett's there, Russ shows up, and then gets the starter's gig over Pickett. This one might be an actual competition as opposed to, well, here's a guy with a pole position. It's crazy, man. Can't make it up. So I'll choose Russ. What else?
Wide receiver to have the bigger impact in their new spot, DK or Debo?
I'll go, obviously, Debo right now, because as of right now, here's the crazy thing. You want to talk about un-Steelers-like moves. We talked about it with Jerry Dulac. We've been talking about it all week. The most un-Steeler move of all the un-Steeler moves we've seen in quite some time. And it's all done with good intentions of trying to zig when they've been zagging, right? It's like Costanza doing the opposite and hoping for the best. But for them to go and send a second-round pick and pay a receiver a $150 million contract without a firm plan in place for a quarterback. But I do believe at the end of the day, Rodgers is going to show up there and he and DK will have a day. But Debo's got the man throwing to him. And he's got Cliff Kingsbury dialing it up. Come on now.
I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog you might not like.
So I'll go Debo as of right now for sure. And by the way, just to circle back, I think Russ beats out Zach because I think Russ winds up in New York and is the starter for the Giants. How does that sound?
Ooh.
That's the likely scenario here.
That's fun too. How about, this is our favorite topic, TJ. Handsomely paid MVP quarterback under more pressure to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson?
Hey, Jesus.
Well, I always for this for Rich.
So dumb.
I always for this for Rich.
This is so dumb.
Josh Allen isn't under any pressure at all. So.
This is so dumb. I'm going to use my host preemptory and say, this is dumb. I'm not answering it.
Come on.
Wait a second. I'm going to have to blow the whistle and throw a flag on that.
This is dumb. I'm not answering it.
You should do your favorite one both.
All right, sure. Wow, look, he's blowing a whistle.
He keeps a whistle on me.
I'll go Lamar. And Lewis Riddick's coming up in hour number three. We're going to finish up What's More Likely in the Roku channel only segment and tell our radio listeners to check that out on Arrear, our podcast, or the Rich Eisen Show YouTube channel. Finish up, Christopher.
All right. Let's finish strong here.
What do you have that's not dumb?
Oh, man. I think this one's pretty good. I think this next one's pretty good. More likely to win more games next year, Sam Darnold or the Vikings?
Oh, I'll go. Ooh, that's a good one. I'll go the Vikings. Everybody thinks J.J. McCarthy is just, you know, going to be Bambi.
He's going to
be Bambi. I understand that. He's Bambi. You know, he's still getting his legs under him like Bambi. He's a fawn quarterback in a nasty, nasty forest called the National Football League.
He's the new Goff?
I'm going to Vikings, pal.
Okay.
Yeah, buddy.
Sam's wearing 14. Hey. Quick turnaround for those DK Metcalf jerseys.
DK who? Okay.
All right. We heard from this man this morning.
That was a good one, though.
Newly extended pass rusher to make the playoffs next year. Max or Miles?
I'll go Max. Don't you think?
I have no idea.
No, either. You know, the likely scenario is neither right now because they're all still building. But I like Geno, pal. I like Geno. And let's see who they add in the draft and other cherry-picked free agents.
They might be a Genty spot at six.
Or what about Cup, baby? They got cap space, pal.
Yeah. Raiders could turn around pretty quick.
What else?
The Raiders.
More likely to be the higher number. Millions in Cooper Kupp's contract or his jersey number.
This should be easy.
I'll go contract if he's going to stick with 10. If he gets
when Tom said 15, I was like, whoa.
If he seems
pretty high.
Yeah, dude.
Is that 20, wasn't it?
I mean, the guy who's replacing him got $26 million guaranteed. So, and I know Devontae Adams has been at it longer and has stayed healthier and is going to the Hall of Fame. But I'll just assume Kupp is going to say, I'll take 10. So, Certainly, if he goes to New England, 10's available. They'll give him Mac Jones's number, won't they?
Well, Drake,
and they'll definitely give him more millions than 10 if Drake, he goes to
Drake,
New England.
Drake May's number 10.
Oh, okay. So then they'll go to 11.
That's Jules.
Oh, damn it. Definitely 12 not
Brady.
12.
No, no.
You think we need one more?
Oh, my goodness. I'm so surprised.
Guys, it's 314. Happy Pi Day.
Yeah.
Great to see you guys all. More
potato.
Likely to give their star player a bigger chunk of the pie first. Jerry Jones or Mike Brown?
Oh, my God.
Oh, this is easy, too.
Oh, my God.
You can't say neither.
Neither.
You can't
there
say neither.
No pie. All right, I'll go Mike Brown.
No, you don't believe that.
Takes a nice chunk out of the pie.